In 1994, University of Wyoming botany professor Dennis Knight wrote a book about Wyoming's landscapes and some of the challenges they may be facing. Now, 20 years later, Knight is joined by other authors to provide an update. The book is called Mountains and Plain: The Ecology of Wyoming Landscapes. We spoke with Knight when he wrote his first book, and today he admits to Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck that some of the challenges the state faces today were not on his radar.
We've heard about the problems associated with sage-grouse, and there are many debates about just what might be the causes of that. We try to analyze those or synthesize the information that's available on that issue. Back in 20 years ago, we wrote about bark beetles as somewhat of a curiosity, and now they are a major concern to forest managers throughout the western states. In the first edition, 20 years ago, we wrote casually about the effects of climate, but 20 years ago, we weren't thinking much about the effects of climate change, and nearly every chapter in the second edition has a discussion of what might be the potential effects on grasslands, on sagebrush, on our forests, on alpine tundra of the changing climate that is occurring in our state.
As you put this book together, you got some friends of yours who are also experts. Talk a little bit about how they all contributed to this.
George Jones, Bill Rahmy, and Bill Reiners all helped me a great deal with the first edition, and it seemed natural to bring them in on the second edition. George was particularly helpful for his expertise in wetlands in Wyoming. We added a new chapter on marshes and fens. Bill Rahmy is arguably the most knowledgeable person in the world on the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Then Bill Reiners has written on the effects of climate change. He's much more of a geologist than I am. And he's much more of a biogeochemist. He was able to synthesize that information, make it much more accessible to a great diversity of people, we hope.
I think one of the things I would like you to talk about is land use management, and specifically in the ag area, something that I know 20-some years ago people were talking about and were working on. I wonder if you saw success there.
Land management issues have been confounded in the last 20 years and made more intense. There's more debate about what the right thing is to do in different places. And, of course, we're always dealing with private property rights, and we're always thinking in terms of how can we manage these lands in a way that provides the resources, ecosystem services that people in the state in general would like to have. Habitat fragmentation has been occurring rapidly for a variety of reasons that are well known. Those have been contributing to some of the controversial issues that have developed. We've mentioned the sage-grouse issue. Open space has become an issue. All of these kinds of problems have attracted the attention of several governors now recently, and it's still an ongoing problem. It's one that we write about. The solutions are not easy.
Another one I would like to ask you a little bit about is forest fires. So I was telling you before we started, we had a great discussion, I thought, many years ago about Yellowstone and the impacts. As you went back and looked at that, a lot of the prediction I think that a lot of you made here at the University of Wyoming have come true. That's growing back.
Oh, yes. The Yellowstone ecosystem is doing well. It was alarming to see Yellowstone, so much of Yellowstone, burning as it did. Something like 30% of the park was subjected to the fires during that one summer. But they are recovering, and the ecosystem there, the greater Yellowstone area, is thriving. There have been some interesting changes. We've learned some things that we didn't necessarily expect. Indeed, there have been some surprises. Some places, the trees didn't come back like we thought they might have. Other places, they become back more abundantly, and it's been interesting for us to, in the second edition, to write about the various causes of why some parts of the area recovered more quickly than others have. I would like to add also that since the first edition was published, the wolf has been reintroduced, and there's been some very interesting research underway that addresses the effects of having the wolf now in the greater Yellowstone area, effects on vegetation, and we've written about that.
Well, while we were talking about fires, I just wanted to ask you a question. Right now, the state is looking at some fire policy issues, dealing with the bark beetle and climate change and that sort of thing. And one of the ideas might be to suppress fires.
Most of the land, most of the forests that burn in the Rocky Mountain West burn because of dry summers when there's a considerable amount of wind. So even though the forests look very, very flammable following a bark beetle epidemic, and indeed they are flammable, nevertheless, research has shown that green trees burn just like brown trees burn. Whether the trees are alive or dead, the forest will burn during a dry, windy summer. What we found, it's been interesting, though, to try and sort out the effects of bark beetles, their contribution to flammability, and try to decide whether fuel management is an important way to minimize the likelihood of fires occurring or not. As it turns out, that's highly controversial still.
You know, in energy development is obviously the most controversial thing out there when we talk about our state. Are you satisfied that the discussions are going in the right direction?
They're definitely going in the right direction. We have more people sitting at the table thinking about what is the best strategy for minimizing the adverse effects of habitat fragmentation caused by increasing numbers of roads and various kinds of energy developments. We're talking about it. That's important. That's a good thing. What we don't know yet, whether or not some of new measures that are being taken are really going to work.
Well, and as you point out in the book, growth is going to be the biggest thing, one of the biggest things to watch, that and climate change as we head in the future. And I guess in many ways they're tied together.
Absolutely. Wyoming has to contribute to the fossil fuels that our nation and the world needs and other kinds of resources. But we also have other resources that can be adversely affected, which are important to the people who live here and are important to the people of the nation as well.
Mountains and Plains, The Ecology of Wyoming Landscapes. It's the second edition. Dennis Knight, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
And thank you, Bob.